Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 2nd, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
This isn't a floating island of plastic. This isn't a continent of plastic. This is really the case of millions and billions of tiny fragments of plastic just mixed in the surface ocean.
In the Amazon basin, for example, the area of ever-wet rainforest decreased by a factor of 5. It was 80% smaller without flowering plants.
Human health is also at risk when we're deforesting the tropical rainforest.
This week, we'll tell you why flowering plants lead to a greener planet than non-flowering plants. We also spoke with the chief scientist aboard the Sea Education Association's research vessel that's studying the impact that plastic pollution has on the Atlantic Ocean. And we'll tell you why the choice between organic and synthetic pesticides isn't as straightforward as you might think. But first, Suzanne Bard learned why rainforest conservation could benefit people too.
Everyone knows that the Amazon rainforest is important to the health of the planet, but a new study suggests that clear-cutting it has a big impact on human health as well. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison analyzed satellite imagery of the Brazilian rainforest as well as public health records. Epidemiologist Sarah Olson says that in areas where large swaths of the rainforest had been cleared, people living nearby had about a 50% increased risk of malaria.
Deforestation is an important risk factor for malaria. So we all know that tropical rainforest conservation has been a big issue, and lots of times we think about it in terms of an environmental and ecological sense, you know, thinking about endangered species and along those lines. But when it comes down to it, this study shows that human health is also at risk when we're deforesting the tropical rainforest. I'm really excited because this is a subset of very detailed health data that's being collected by the Brazilian Ministry of Health. And this is a data set that is just really unmatched when you're looking at the malaria belt. And I'm really excited to take this research and look at the entire region of the Amazon. So I think there's just a great amount of potential in this data set. And it can tell us a lot about environmental connections, but as well about social and economic connections to health and help us target specific interventions to specific areas.
Olson says that the methods used in the study can be applied to other tropical diseases as well.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Justin Warner reports that the world is a more verdant place because of flowering plants.
Without flowers, the world would be a little more drab. It would also be a lot drier and hotter, according to University of Chicago paleontologist Kevin Boyce. He explains that the leaves of flowering plants have a much higher vein density than any other plants, past or present.
And that matters because in order to take in carbon dioxide, they have to be able to lose the water. And the more veins they have, the more water they're capable of losing.
That water transpires out through the leaves, evaporates, and eventually returns as rain. Using climate models, Boyce and his colleague Chung-Gun Lee created a simulated Earth just like ours, except they replaced all the flowering plants with non-flowering plants. Then they observed global changes in rainfall.
And the effect was quite dramatic. What we saw was that in the Amazon basin, for example, where we saw the largest effect, the area of ever-wet rainforest decreased by a factor of 5. It was 80% smaller without flowering plants.
The effect on temperate zones was smaller but still significant. For instance, the northeastern U.S. would get 40% less rainfall. Boyce says the model is a first step toward determining how much the evolution of flowering plants changed the planet as we know it. As for his hypothetical scenario, he says it may get closer to reality as deforestation decreases the density of flowering plants around the globe.
Thanks, Justin. Anything labeled organic is assumed to be good for the environment. But researchers at the University of Guelph say that when it comes to pesticides, it's not so simple. They compared two natural organic pesticides to four synthetic ones. The organic choices were less effective and also much more likely to kill beneficial insects like ladybugs than were some of the synthetic pesticides. The authors suggest that farmers should compare products based on performance and overall environmental impact rather than just the natural versus synthetic label. In other environmental health news, scientists at Imperial College London analyzed nearly 1,400 cases of young children with leukemia or brain cancer and found no link between the conditions and their mother's proximity to cell phone towers during pregnancy. The study was published in the British Medical Journal. Finally, plastic pollution is a big problem on land, but it also causes problems at sea. The Sea Education Association's North Atlantic expedition is currently tracking the accumulation of plastic debris near Bermuda. Suzanne had a chance to speak with its chief scientist this week via satellite phone.
Chemical oceanographer Yura Proskurowski says people often misunderstand what plastic pollution in the oceans looks like.
This isn't a floating island of plastic. This isn't a continent of plastic. This is really the case of millions and billions of tiny fragments of plastic just mixed in the surface ocean.
He says plastic debris damages the ecosystem at many levels. For instance, mammals can get entangled with the larger pieces.
As you start breaking down the plastic, you start getting to the size pieces that birds and fishes might eat. Additionally, plastics act as a sponge for persistent organic pollutants in the upper ocean, not to mention that there are poisonous chemicals also dissolved into plastic.
But he also says that the plastic may be creating new niches for submarine organisms.
You have these floating pieces of plastic that offer a safe refuge for bacteria, for microbial life, and for small juvenile organisms.
To follow the progress of the Sea Education Association's North Atlantic Expedition, or to learn more about plastic pollution at sea, check out the expedition's website at plastics.sea.edu.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we will send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.